Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
Hey, I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are. It is a gloomy, at least on the West Coast, at least in my area. It's been overcast all day.
The 9th of June. Me. It's all about you. It's all about you.
Well, no, it's all about my weather.
Nobody else's matters. And what the hell? If it's sunny, you should spit on them. No?
Well, you got, how's your weather?
Crappy.
Yeah.
It was, actually, we've had this weird kind of, what are we, so we're in June 9th. And in Florida, it's usually that muggy thing going on, but it's not here yet. I'm telling you, it's going to arrive one day, like somebody just turned on the steamer.
A couple of shows ago, you were complaining about it.
Yeah, but it's not as bad as it can be. Mm. Anyway, lots going on, man. Hello to Periscope out there. I got to tell you that some interesting things have been evolving with this. I'm just waiting for the one day for the porn to take over Periscope. Don't you think that's inevitable?
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, how come it hasn't already?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think they block it. I did write them today. I said, hey, how do we get featured? Because, you know, they have on the top the featured two or three different things. And so I got a form mail back. Thank you for your inquiry. We'll get right to it.
Yeah, in other words, we're never going to get featured.
So, no, never. Probably not. Anyway, so we are live on Periscope and we're recording the course. You can find all the information over on DH Unplugged, iTunes, and also to other podcast networks to listen to us on a regular basis. And we got to start with the discussion, I guess, of the markets. Markets are in a bit of a kind of a gloomy mood themselves.
Yes, just like the weather here.
Yeah. See, it's all about you. The world revolves around you, let's face it.
Well, no, my weather, not me.
No, okay. Not you. Well, we saw a good job number on Friday. Unemployment rate ticked up to 5.5%, but not a big deal. We saw 200 and, I don't know, 50-something. No,
that's always interpreted as a good thing.
Yeah.
Oh, more people are back in the market.
Right. More people back in the workforce. And supposedly builders are complaining today. They're all grousing about how, you know, we'd build more, but this is not a lot of qualified people. And I'm thinking to myself, not to belittle anyone, but qualified for what? To build? I mean, isn't that kind of like, you know, the average guy can do some of that? Or am I wrong?
It's just wielding a hammer and being told what to do.
Right. So, I mean, I guess it's more like who wants to do it. I don't know. But anyway, there's not enough. It
pays well. I don't understand what they're grousing
not
about.
Not enough skilled workers. Just not enough. So anyway, people are working, though, back to work. And we are still seeing the same exact disconnect where manufacturing is slowing down a bit. Worldwide, we're seeing that. There's a couple of pockets of good things. But, you know, we're seeing that maybe Europe is getting a little bit better. As a matter of fact, the bonds in Europe are saying, hey, things are getting better because the German is now close to 1%, that 10-year Bund. I just like saying the word Bund, by the way. Bund.
Yeah, well, you don't pop your P at least.
No, I try not to.
Well, that's because there's no P in the word boom.
So why did you say it? Why would you bring it up if there's no P?
Yeah, I caught you off guard.
The German Bund. I got a pee popper on here. I got a double pee popper. You got a pee popper?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. You got a sock or a pee popper?
I don't use the sock. The sock's really not that good. You want one of those metals that where it's bent. It's a metallic device that pushes the air down below the mic, but pushes the sound forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, the German Bund has reached about 1%, which is pretty substantial. I mean, everybody listening out there, you have to think about this. Really, when you go from 0.05% to 1%, that is a significant move. And this is with the ECB still coming on strong with all their finances. And it's pretty amazing what's going on there. But anyway, so that's going on. We saw that China has been moving up recently, but it started to get a little bit sloshy over the last few days. I'll tell you something, though. Watching that market at night is fascinating. It moves very quickly. You know, you see like down 25 basis points or 0.25%, 0.5%. Then honestly, 5 minutes later, up 1%, then down 0.75%. It moves ferociously. But one of the big things that was going on over the last several months has been the anticipation that the MSCI, Morgan Stanley Capital International, which is they're the go-to for the indices, they would include China in a much bigger way, particularly Shanghai, Shenzhen, and the local shares in the emerging market index. And if that happened, what would go on would be that all these ETFs and mutual funds that are index investors would have to pile in.
Yes.
Well, that didn't happen. Yep, that didn't happen. Tonight they said, there's a couple things that have to happen. We like you, China, of course. We like all this, but there's three or four things that have to happen before we allow you and to unfettered access for people to get into this. So that was a postponement, maybe till 2017, supposedly.
How about if they were actually an emerging market? How does the second biggest economy in the world, about to pass us up, become an emerging market?
I don't know. That's a good question. And what's the point? Everything is so pushed. Have you noticed that? It's like, oh, we have to be in there. We have to be part of the dollar, and China wants to be it. That's another thing. China's currency, they're going to try to take over as the go-to currency like the dollar is now. And as a matter of fact,
everybody wants to do that. Every time they try it, it fails.
Isn't China the number one oil importer in the world?
I'm not sure of that.
I believe so.
Probably. It would make sense.
And the next 5 years, they're going to pass our economy. I mean, they should. My God, they have 10 times more people, right? Or no, they have five times more people.
Well, lots.
Lots of time.
I think it's closer to 10.
I'll let you know. I'll be there in about 3 weeks. I'll count them all for you.
What are you going to do there?
I'm going to go down to Chengdu and Xi'an and do some Shanghai and just buzz around all the places I haven't been yet. Well, not all the places, but some of the places that I haven't been yet. The one problem, though, is that on the way there, I fly from Florida to Newark to, then it goes direct to Beijing. Then I get on a flight to go to Chengdu. Now, here's the problem. On the way back, I go from Beijing. I think I stop in Seoul, Korea.
So you're going over the pole.
So the problem, though, is the flight back is better. I'm flying on, I think, Korean Airlines or Air Asia first class on the way back.
Okay.
Which is great. That's like the vacation is right there for me. You know, the whole, and on the way there, we're flying United or some sub-affiliate. I think it's Business First, they call it, whatever the heck that is. Anyway.
That means they don't serve caviar.
Is that what it is? I got to tell you something.
Or a small tin.
First class.
The real first class gives you a big pile.
First class and business class on Asian airlines, non-U.S., I'll say non-U.S. based airlines, is fantastic. Anybody
who's... Yes.
Oh, fantastic. Anyway, I fly through Seoul. Now, there's an outbreak, or at least the start of an outbreak, of this MERS, M-E-R-S, which is a very bad and deadly virus, I guess it is, or...
MERS.
What's that stand for?
It stands for don't go here.
Yeah. Murder everyone, really.
I don't know anything about this. You have to brief me right now. I have no clue this.
I can't brief you because I can barely even obviously say it right. But this MERS, MERS. This MERS is some kind of a deadly thing. Now, what's happened is that Hong Kong has put it on the high priority list, the red list, the red zone, the light ringing list, whatever it is, that it's a bad place to go. Because I guess there's been four or five deaths associated with this.
Oh, all of four or five deaths.
Yeah, but that's not good. I mean, it could be, who knows?
No, of course not, especially if you're going through the airport.
Yeah, incubation
periods. South Korea, MERS outbreak, 7 dead, 2,500 quarantined. You don't want to get quarantined.
Is that what that says? You're reading it? I don't want to be quarantined. No.
Yeah, I'm reading it from CNN from 4 hours ago.
So we may have to do a little...
Korea's MERS outbreak highlights SARS lesson. Well, you're not getting off in Korea. You're just stopping over for a new plane, right? Or
I think I got a four-hour layover.
Oh, that's okay. You just stay in the airport.
I think I'm going to, you know what? There are plenty of those masks for sale in China. It's a big area of masks. I can get like a matching set of a hat and a mask kind of thing, you know?
I think the hat and the mask is a good look for
you. Yeah, it's a good look, right? Get one of those little beanie hats.
South Korea MERS outbreaks begin with a cough.
I have a cough.
You probably already have MERS.
I could. I probably have a carrier.
Yeah, they think you have MERS because, I went through Asia once during one of these outbreaks of something, and they have all these heat-seeking cameras. Yeah. And you can actually look at it.
Yeah.
So when you come down the escalator, you can see all the people, and the ones who have got a fever or temperature over normal, they're bright red.
Middle
East. And they pull you aside and quarantine you.
Middle East respiratory syndrome. That is coming through from
our
friends over at Periscope. What do you mean that? What do you think?
That started in, I think, a Saudi Arabian, and somebody picked it up and took it to England, and I didn't think it was making a comeback. That's interesting.
Yep, making a second appearance. Making a... encore.
Let me read from the story here from the Wall Street Journal. And with you in mind. It was like he had caught a cold, his wife said in an interview with a local television station. She said her husband suffered from a fever and coughing fits. The doctor suspected a mild or minor ailment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then he died.
No. Doesn't seem so.
Hmm. And by the way, just to talk about that, something we've talked about before with ailments and deaths, remember how we talked about that flaca, how it was spreading in Florida and all that, and this crazy drug where people just get these terrible fevers and ripping off their clothes and all that? Remember that whole thing?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Do you know what they're finding now? They're finding that 3 to 6 weeks after the flaca ingestion, where they, I'll call it an overdose or some kind of too much of this stuff.
Right.
People are dying.
Oh, they're just dropping dead?
Dropping dead.
Huh.
How messed up is that?
That's not good.
Yeah, just as a quick note, don't do flaca. Just a saying. Just an idea. Probably. All right, let's see what else is going on. Ah, this was great. So I'm trying to see what I should do first here. All right, I want to skip to something here. So we know that airlines are getting hammered. I think the airlines, there's something to do with this whole MERS thing also. But a classic example of what's going on with airlines, if you've watched them, is the hedge funds piling in, bidding up the sector, and then kind of all at once steamrolling out of it. It was a great year for airlines back in 2014. And man, they just got whacked the last few days. There's been some discussion about capacity and passenger miles and too many players in. This all spurred from the discussion by, remember this, the Saudi airlines saying that they're going to start competing in the United States.
Well, there's legalities involved here. This is a problem.
I don't understand how it's going to work.
I don't know how they can do it. I mean, Virgin Airways couldn't compete in the United States. They had to start a second company, Virgin America.
Can you imagine where I'm going? I'm going to take a quick 1-hour jaunt to Georgia on Kuwait Airlines. I mean, I guess if the price is right, who cares, right?
Oh, I'm sure that the service would be fantastic.
Mm. I signed up for this really cool thing. I don't know if you've heard of this. This is an underground dinner club. It's called Kobaya.
It's like those pop-up dinners, flash dinners.
Yeah.
Is that what it's like?
Yeah, kind of. It's this thing called Kobaya Miami, which I guess translates to like guinea pig or something. What happens is that you sign up for this thing, get yourself on a list, and I don't know if there's any requirement yet. Put myself on this list, and then I guess about 48 hours before the event happens, what you do is you get some email and you say, okay, well, they'll tell you where it's going to be, who the chef is. And I don't know if they tell you the menu at that point. No, I don't think they tell you the menu. But they tell you what it's going to be, or at least some information. You pay for it, it's like $100, and you go. I've seen some menus that are absolutely off the hook. Just the coolest.
Like what?
You got to look at this thing. You got to look up Kobaya, Kobaya, Miami, and just look up the menus. I mean, from they're just very creative and cool menus. Just really, really cool. All sorts of food.
Gourmet guinea pigs.
Yeah, really cool. Not the greatest website I've ever seen. But
no, they're cheesy.
Now, I found another site called dinnerlab.com. Now, this is similar to it. The only difference is you have to pay a membership fee. It's kind of all over the country. It looks like the menus are a little bit lame comparatively.
Smoked goat loin.
Yeah, well.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Mulberry cucumber, goat's milk, blah, blah, blah. Goat barbacoa. These guys like goat. That's barbacoa, means barbecue. Guayillo, cassoulet bean, that would be cassoulet. Avocado, garnacha blend, clotis, something or other.
Yeah. Wine, I liked about it really a lot was I couldn't pronounce most of the stuff. I thought that was a sign of good food.
Well, let me read one of them here. You tell you. Triggerfish tataki.
Yeah.
Charred onion dashi, bronze fennel, and key lime. What? You couldn't pronounce those?
That, those I could, actually.
Mango, umeboshi, soy milk, shiso.
Like I said.
Shiso, okay. Yeah, okay, you win.
Very difficult, but it looked pretty cool. I'll tell you what happens the next time.
Oh, yum. Beef tendon.
Yeah. What's wrong with the beef? If it's sliced thin, very, very thin, paper thin.
Yeah, it's actually.
Can't eat it. You can't gnaw on it if it's thick. All right, let's go on to a couple of things. One more point of me. You talked about the weather. So I got my Xiaomi Mi bracelet. You know,
the cheapy. Okay, I talked to my wife about this, but tell me your story first and I'll tell you her story.
Okay, so I got it.
Because she spent the $50 for $100.
From the Radio Shack. From Fitbit, yeah. So I went and I got Xiaomi bracelet. And just hang on. Everybody wants to hear. This is what it looks like. You can't see it, John. It's a little bracelet. And it's a little kind of a plasticky band. Yeah, kind of crappy, but okay, fine. Just, you know, it just needs to snap around your wrist, for goodness sakes, right? So it snaps around your wrist, most of the instructions, if not all the instructions, were in Chinese, but that's okay. Download the app, and you just pair it. It's just a Bluetooth pairing. And so basically, it does nothing but record data, whatever that data is, and then you read it on your phone. I will tell you a couple things. From what I can see, the software or the app is not as robust as I would want it to be. It tells you things like, okay, how many steps you made, how much you ran, how much you walked, total distance, steps, things like that. The problem was that there were several times that I was in a car that it was telling me that I was exercising. Like, I looked at the time frame. I'm like, hey, I don't think I was running then, but I remember being in a car. So I guess I was moving my arms in a running manner or something and thought I was running, but it didn't record the full distance.
I've never seen anybody in a car do that.
I didn't do what?
Move their arms in a running manner.
I don't know. I don't think I was either. And then it also tells you about your sleeping. Somehow it knows when you're sleeping.
It does that.
I don't really understand it, how it knows that, but it tells you sleeping, tells you when I'm in deep sleep, I guess my REM sleep, gives you a column chart and shows you exactly, you know, when you're sleeping, when you're light sleeping, when you're up, things like that. That's kind of cool. It seems to give me a good representation, at least from, I don't know, I'm sleeping, so I can't tell you if it's true, but of what it seems to be would be right. Your total hours of sleeping, and then it, you know, shows you each and every day. However, the problem is that the iPhone has apps. There's the health app that comes right along with your iPhone, and it tells you the same kind of things, how far you went and all that, and it uses GPS monitoring, etc. The Nike running app tells you a great amount of information about your running. Again, distance-wise, how fast you're going, tracks how many, you know, every single session that you do. Some of them even do some coaching, like, you know, hey, start running now, start walking. I do a little bit of a run walk as I'm trying to get back into this. So, but this thing is, you know, it's worth $15. I'll give you that. You know what I'm saying? I will tell you that the probability is I'm going to wear it for a week and then I'm going to take it off and give it away.
Well, I mentioned this cheapy to my wife and she says, well, you're missing the point because the cool thing about Fitbit is the website and the automatic downloading. When you walk past the dongle or something, it downloads to the machine and you get these reports, and these reports tell you all kinds of stuff that's fascinating, according to her. And that's most of what you're paying for. You're not paying for the device, I guess, is cheap. It's cheap, whatever it is. But the reports and the analysis is very high quality, she claims.
I have not, trying to think if the app has this. I don't know if the app has any kind of other information about, you know, a website that you can go on in English, for that matter, that you can go on and you can find information out about it. I'm sure they'll come up with this eventually. I mean, it doesn't seem like that would cost a lot of money. The only problem, though, would be that if there are these machines, any of the machines, let's say, at various, you know, gyms and things like that, that have the Fitbit built in, not the connection for this, that's a problem. I think that all of these are doomed when the iPhone or the Apple Watch, or certainly the Apple Watch, has much more traction.
I disagree.
You think these little crappy little stupid looking bracelets are going to stick around?
Well, that's the point. It's like if you remember when the iPad came out, the Kindle was doomed. And it turned out that the Kindle wasn't doomed. It's actually doing quite well and continues to do so. People who want to just monitor their sleeping and walking and pulse rate and whatever they want to monitor don't mind spending $50. They do mind spending $400.
Right.
And in fact, I just went to the Apple store yesterday and played around with one of the watches. And, you know, it's got Apple still has a problem. They should be selling these watches in the store. Mm-hmm. And I talked to the sales guy about this, and he said, yeah, because people have come in, families come in, and there's some guy with a lot of money, and he wants to buy up the place, and they got nothing to sell him. They have to go to the website to order it, and they get very disappointed. And you'd have to say that they will lose sales because of this, because people will say, "Oh, I'm going to go in and buy one." And you there, you're already pumped up to buy it. You have to go. They say, "No, we can't sell it to you." Then what are you even showing it for? And then you go home and think about it. Ah, you know, maybe I don't need to buy one. It's kind of expensive. I think they lose sales because they can't get them into the stores.
Yeah, you know, I'm just thinking here that John C. Dvorak, if you want change at Apple, maybe you should go a little higher than talking to the salesperson.
I didn't want change. I don't care.
Yeah,
it's just that was my. I was just theorizing with the guy, and he says, "Yeah, it's pretty obvious they're going to lose sales."
Well.
I suppose, and maybe some Apple big would read it. But we both agreed, the guy, the sales guy and myself, that they will eventually be selling them at the stores. They just, for some reason,
not yet,
can't manage it.
Well, maybe the Fitbit would have something better. I will tell you, I got another email from a colleague of mine, and it was a marketing email. And in this marketing email, he tells me, hey, look at this. A large insurance company, pick your name, Prudential, Metropolitan, whichever it is giving away Fitbits. For anyone who buys a new life insurance policy, and what they'll do is you'll use your Fitbit and you'll link up to their website, I guess, or something of that nature, and they'll track your health. And
yeah,
and
this is exactly what you don't want.
Oh, this is bad. I'm glad you agree with me.
Slave bracelet.
Right. Exactly.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Horowitz, but we have to raise your rates because you haven't been walking enough.
Right. It is kind of like an ankle bracelet that you get from
from the Department of Justice after
exactly
mugged somebody.
Right. I mean, kind of. I don't want anybody following me around. I mean, does anybody really think? I mean, anybody listening? You think that you'd want to have? Yes, I understand. Maybe you'd want to have the benefit of lower rates if I don't know if you're exercising and doing the right things, right? But do you really want to have an insurance company who, by the way, their medical records are available for anybody that requests them when you sign off on that? Just to let you know, there's a sign-off form that you have to make that the, I think it's the MIB, it's called, Medical Information Bureau, is able to get access to the information from the insurance company, and therefore the information that you provide them through your Fitbit is now available to any of these carriers. Boy, I got to tell you something. Talk about, you know, the next. This is beyond Facebook and telling everybody about yourself. This is kind of way out of bounds, in my opinion. Really kills the whole, you know, privacy issue.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. The NTSB is calling on car manufacturers to make collision avoidance systems standard in newly manufactured vehicles. This goes on the lines of our discussion about automated driving.
Right.
And there is now officially a truck. I think it's in Nevada. There's like a semi that is being approved for.
Yeah, legal, can drive around. It'll be sabotaged by the Teamsters.
Mm. Well, possibly, yeah.
First thing I do, you can put some snipers out on the open road and blow up, you know, shoot at its tires.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
There's a lot of things you can do.
Let's see here. Oh, this was kind of cool. I thought this was a great story. I really did. I thought it was a great story. So, I was watching something in the background about CNBC, and they're talking about the whole Triple Crown and, you know, what if we have a winner and it's, American Pharoah and he gets the Triple Crown. And what do the statistics say about that and the stock market? The first question I'm thinking to myself is, what the hell is their correlation to, even if it does have any kind of resemblance that something works together? That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Oh, no, there's a very strong correlation.
There's a strong correlation. There has been historically.
It's called the gambling.
But what does that have to do with anything?
stock market's gambling.
Yeah, but so what? It's just about a horse winning. It's gambling no matter if the horse loses or wins. The fact that the horse won the Triple Crown, they put a statistic up that shows that nine out of the ten last times that a horse won the Triple Crown, that the markets were on average down 9% in the months following.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
That's pretty stupid, yes.
Yeah. Now, I thought what was really interesting about this is one step further. When you look at, they do these things all the time. They take all these bizarre things and put them together and try to make something out of it. But traditionally what they do is they put something together and they say, okay, well, this, and the stock market goes up. Now, what they show you usually is like three samplings, which is proof of nothing, right?
Right.
Here they have 10 samplings, which again is not a lot, but going back like 75 years, and all they could do is try to say it's not enough samples and it's really probably not a good thing to be looking at, even though there's 9 out of 10, blah, 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 because it was a down indicator. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, that sounds like CNBC.
Gotta love these guys. I mean, just absolutely 9 out of 10 over 100 years. But wait, don't look at this because it's really a small sampling. Now, let me bring you something else.
Right, twice, I bring it up at all.
Yeah, twice in the last 30 years when there's been 500 other, samplings, the market's gone up in this scenario. And you know what? You should really look at that. I mean, that's the kind of crap they're doing. I don't know why people watch it for the, for the commentary, for the information and the information source. Great stuff. I don't know. You don't watch it, do you?
They've always been boosters. It's embarrassing. Yeah. They know it, too. They're always trying to fight it. They bring a lot of new producers. Producers go through that place. Like, a lot of producers go through that place.
Right.
And they go through it, and they all, a lot of them talk a big game about, we have that reputation, and we're working on it. They by the time they start working on it, they're out. Mm. Next guy's in. They never do anything.
Yep. I'm going to, I sent you some, well, I sent you some homework. We're going to get on that in a second. Did you do your homework?
No. No, I didn't. I'm like, it's just like when I was a student.
Well, you'll do probably what you did. If I know you as a student, you'll do it from the hip when we get there. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. So I thought. Well, let me just mention.
Is this the Belgium commemorates?
No, that was something totally different. That was hysterical. I don't know if you want to.
You fooled me.
Yeah. That was about in the last 20 years I sent you, that one. Anyway, we'll get to that in a second. JP Morgan dropping voicemail. Voicemail out. Going to save millions of dollars. I'm not sure what happens.
Save millions of lawsuits.
I'm not sure what happens. What I guess you don't, if you call up and it's like, thank you, we're not taking voicemail anymore. Send us an email maybe, or go to our help desk, or go to our chat, or I don't know.
It's nonsense. There's no saving money.
I suppose it's going to save him money. I don't know how. I guess it's, I don't know. I mean, I really not thinking how it can save them money. But they said it will. Maybe it's a voicemail system.
I have no idea. It doesn't make any sense to me either.
Well, I was thinking about this, some of the things that people or companies and in life, the appendages that are being dropped because of technology and advancement. And I was thought we would play a game. And the game is some things that won't be here in the next 20 years. For example, I can mention things like an 8-track. And my kids are like, what the hell is that?
Right.
Reel to reel. Whatever do you mean?
Yeah.
You
sound like a broken record, actually.
How about an SLR camera or something? I mean, the Instamatic. Yeah, what is that, right? Polaroid. What is that?
Polaroids are gone, yeah. Apple Watch.
So in 20 years. Okay, so I got a list of things this was your homework.
I never saw this email.
Oh, well, yeah, there it goes. Probably I should have left you a voicemail. Unless you cut
you
that too.
You left it at JP Morgan. They would have passed it on.
Yeah. All of those on Periscope, you can play along too. The question is, what won't be here in 20 years that when we talk about it 20 years later, our kids will look at us like, hey, what the hell's wrong with you? What is that? I have no idea. Like party lines, TV antennas. You remember the days of TV antennas where you had 13 channels, right?
I still have a TV antenna. For my over-the-air HD TV, you have to have an antenna.
Okay, but it's in the attic or something, right? It's upstairs somewhere?
No, it's on the roof.
Right. And you don't have to get up there and put tinfoil on the corners of it and pull it in all directions, do you?
Well, that was crazy.
That's what we did. I had one guy stand in the corner. I'm like, hey, stand right there. Don't move. Get better reception that way.
Remember that? Well, there's a little of that.
Right, right. Anyway, so start bringing on some of your ideas on Periscope. We got CDs, DVDs. Here's some things I have. The house phone.
I found the email.
Oh, well, good.
It came in at 8:42 in the morning.
Oh, so sorry that I was awake. 8:42 your time. That's yes, 11. That's... Huh. All right. I'll go through my list and you tell me yay or nay, okay?
Sure.
House phone.
Well, that's a good one because I'm a big promoter of the landline. It's the only thing that still works in an emergency. Because if you have a problem in your like an earthquake or something, all the cell towers are out. So I'm going to say that's still going to be here in 20 years.
Still going to be here, the house phone. Okay, what about driver's tests?
Driver's tests?
Yeah.
Somebody just told me the other day that if you get your driver's license in Arizona, it's good for 45 years. You ever heard this?
No. I think
driver's test. I would say in 20 years, yes, I think it would still be. In 40 years, no.
Okay, so because of autonomous driving. DVDs, that's an easy one.
Yeah, it's pretty much going to be dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably within 20 years.
SLR cameras?
Well, the DSLR is still around, and people still like using them. And the best camera you can get is the full framers, and those are all DSLRs.
But that's right now. I mean, we're going
in 20 years?
Yeah,
I think so, because I think there's still some sort of prestige.
Hmm. Coins.
Coins. I hope they are. In fact, Belgium, as you pointed out, just came out with a crazy coin.
Yeah, but
that was... 2.5 euro coin.
That was just a shit on France.
Well...
That's all that was about.
Yeah, I guess it was.
You know, if you read that whole article, it's they're crapping all over them. Matter of fact, they put this, I think it was a lion or something, or whatever the Belgian animal is, on top of like Notre Dame or something. If you look closely at the coin.
Oh, I didn't notice that. That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, I will say this. Since coins were in play during the Romans a couple thousand years ago, and probably before that in some other cultures, I say coins will stick around.
Coins are sticking around. How about cash? So now we got, dollars.
Well, thank God for the Chinese. They love cash.
So cash
I think they've been trying to push cash out of the picture. Of course, they're going to do this electronically. We have everything's going to be virtualized. But it's going to be fought. And I think it might still be here in 20 years.
Okay, how about shots from a doctor?
Shots from a doctor.
You know, big old needle right in the arm or in the tuchus.
I'd say that'd be gone.
Yeah. TSA?
Oh, God. I hope they're gone in 20 years.
I had to go down today to the customs office in Fort Lauderdale. You see, if we take the boat and we go out to the Bahamas, and we go to the Bahamas. Did I tell you this whole sequence? You get to the Bahamas, you got to fly the yellow quarantine flag and the United States flag. You got to go check in. You go through the check in, the passport, and all. You take down the quarantine flag.
No, you never told me this. Interesting.
Okay, so you take your boat, and when you get to 13 miles out of Bahamian waters, you have to actually, because that's the only thing around right here, you know, the ride from the inlet of the Atlantic Ocean, where I'm at in Fort Lauderdale, to Bimini, the closest island in the Bahamas, is about 50 miles. So you get over there and 13 miles out, when you get into those waters, you're in Bahamian water and you have to go check in. So you can maybe do a few things out there, but you go in and you go check in. There's a couple different check-in points in this little bitty island. And as you go in, you have to fly a yellow quarantine flag and you have to fly a United States flag. Okay? So they know that you're not checked in yet. You go to the thing, you check in, you do whatever you're going to do. You show them your passport. You declare if you have any weapons with you, things of that nature, right? And then once you check in and everybody in your boat checks in, you pay your appropriate amount of money to them. I think $150 or so or $200 for twice in 6 months you can come, I think it is. Then you take down your quarantine flag and you throw up the Bahamian flag. Okay?
Okay.
And you got to kind of, I think, cruise around with that all week, whenever you're out there. Now, on the way back, I don't think you have to check out, actually. But on the way back, you'd have to go immediately when you land, you'd have to go to the customs office and check in there, just like being on a plane, right? But I could go and get what's called a boater's option card, which says I'm pre-checked in. And all I do is, I got all the stuff on there. I'm the master of the vessel and all this other crap. I call them on my way in or when I'm in and say, hey, it's Andrew Horowitz. Here's my number. They'll ask me some questions. Do you have any currency over $10,000? Do you have this? Do you have that? Do you have this? No, whatever. Okay, you're checked in. Now, anybody in my boat that doesn't have this boater's card has to actually, within 24 hours, go to the customs office if they've gone that. So there's a little procedure. Hopefully,
silly.
Hopefully there's some lobster.
So I'm on your boat. Let's go get this straight.
Yeah.
So I'm on your boat with you.
Right.
We go into the Bimini.
Yeah.
And we check in and put a little flag up.
Yeah.
Okay, we're hanging around. I don't know what I'm going to do there. Bored. So I said, let's get back.
Yeah.
So we head back. And dude, what happens to the Bahamian flag?
I guess I take it down once I leave. I wonder if I have to put the quarantine
back in. You put it down below. What do you do with it?
You fold it up.
Okay, whatever. Okay, so now we go into the customs down to back to the States. And you're calling in, hey, you know, I'm Andrew Horowitz. Yeah, yeah, and you give them all the details.
Yeah.
And then
there's no, there's no, it's not on the VHF. It's on your telephone.
Oh, it's on a telephone, on a cell phone.
Yeah.
Wow. So, okay. So you're on a cell phone and you call, you could be calling from your bedroom, but okay. You're calling from the,
No, once you land, they say, once you land.
Oh, once you land, you call in and tell them what's what. And they say, okay, you're good. And then, so now you take your boat into the estuary where you go and park your boat back at the house.
Yeah.
I'm still on the boat.
Yeah.
Now you say to me, John, you're supposed to go check in with these guys. Like, you know, within 24 hours or something. I say, screw it. I'm not going.
Yeah, not good.
What happens?
Well, what would happen if somehow you didn't check in on the, if you didn't, it's the equivalent of you not going through customs and immigration at the airport. Somehow you mysteriously were able to escape out the back door before you, you know.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Oh, okay. So nothing happens.
I don't know. I guess you can't
travel
again.
It's just an honor system.
Well, what happens if you, I mean, you, well, I think that when you come, your passport's going to be impaired.
How's that going to work?
Well, if you were to get off, you went to Europe. You came back from Europe. You land in Miami. You're getting out in Miami. You're supposed to go through the customs and immigration whole jobby, right?
Of course.
What if you don't?
Well, you can't get past the
pretend.
Like
pretend you can. Pretend you can. Somehow there's a trap door.
I'm just wandering around. I'm fine. I'm good to go.
Okay. Well, same thing, I guess.
I mean, even with the passport thing, they used to be real rigid about stamping it and doing all this stuff. I came back one time and I went to Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go to Russia and the Russians put some piece of paper in the passport and they're stamping away on it. And so I'm coming back and the Russian guy, it turned out to be the same guy, which I thought was spooky, that I saw when I left. He didn't recognize me, but I recognized him. He was weird looking. He takes the piece of paper out. And that's it. It doesn't stamp the passport. It does nothing. And in fact, there's no Russian stamp in the passport. So I come back on an Aeroflot flight through London. And, or maybe I went, yeah, I think I went back to London. Whatever. I went through passport control. And the guy says, he looks at my passport, he's flipping through it. He goes, where have you been? Because apparently I hadn't been anywhere, according to my passport. And I said, I just got back from Russia. And he says, oh, yeah, those guys. And then he just gives me the passport and sends me on my way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've definitely been to several countries that don't stamp, and I always ask for a stamp. Because because the thing is, isn't it all electronic now? Isn't it all linked together through Interpol or something?
They would like you to believe that.
Well, whatever the case may be, you'll have to check in. I don't know if I get any kind of, you know, zonk or something
but
like
how
that.
Do they know I'm on the boat?
Because they know that you went out of the country because you checked in the Bahamas.
Well, the Bahamas don't. I guarantee there's no coordinate. What if I stayed there?
Well, then you stay there.
And I moved to the Bahamas. I'm now in the Bahamas all the time.
Yep. So you don't have to check back.
Okay. I just think this is lax.
All right. Okay. I will talk to them about it. Okay.
No. Don't change anything.
If there's a salesperson at the customs office, I will talk to them about this idea. Okay. Yeah, all right, moving along real quickly. 20 years, cashiers?
Yeah, I think in some luxury operations.
Printers? I don't mean printers as in the guys that print business cards, but that could be too. But like your HP printer on your desk.
Yeah.
That'll be there.
Yeah, they'll be around.
Stereo systems, you know, the old Onkyo or whatever.
I've got one downstairs running right now, of course.
Yeah, wouldn't even say of course, but you know, in theory, you don't need that.
I do need it.
What do you need it for?
I like the quality of the sound. I can't get there with this crap that hooks to a computer.
And you're playing it through what, DVDs or?
No. I play over the air stuff.
Play radio. You play FM radio.
Yes.
And that's higher quality than the digital MP3s.
It's streaming, it's streaming and it's simple. And it's not streaming through a computer. It's not. It doesn't have the harsh effects of the digitization. It doesn't have the negative. It's a more positive experience.
You are like Mr. Analog. You know that?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, this is Mr. Analog. It's your new name. You should actually get some kind of a slogan. MrAnalog.com.
Yeah. All you're telling me is that I'm busting up your crazy thing here that you've come up with.
No.
Give me a couple more.
Charging cables for phones.
That I doubt.
Okay. Checks.
That's a good one. I would say probably not, but it wouldn't surprise me if it did.
Mm-hmm. Car keys. And for God's sakes, I hope fabs in there. The fobs. Oh, those fob things are. Hate those things.
I think, as the driverless car comes along, the car keys will be dead. So I must say, I'll give you a break. I'll say no.
You say no to the car keys. Okay, how about Bitcoin?
No, no chance.
Let's see what else I got here. Yahoo?
Probably. In some form or other.
It lingers, man.
Struggling.
It lingers. What about voicemail? How about Summer Fridays? There's a good article on this today about Summer Fridays. I remember when I
don't know what a Summer Friday is.
Well, I remember in New York, you know, you're cooped up all winter long and you're working and you're in your office. You don't want to leave because it's freaking cold outside and all that. Summer Fridays, for someone comes along and, like, you know, 12 o'clock on Friday, it's like, all right, thank you, bye. Or I'm just going to take a 3-day week. Summer Fridays were big in New York, and what I remember at least.
Ah, they're big everywhere.
Yeah, well, not. I think they're going away a bit.
Nah.
It's been a trend.
Just the opposite.
You think that more Summer Fridays are happening?
Yes.
Maybe Summer Mondays.
That'd be great.
Yeah, so it would be kind of a 4-day week all the time. All right. All right, continuing on real quickly. Thank you very much for your participation and shooting my stuff down.
Exciting.
Well, trying to spice it up a little bit here. All right, let's talk about hacking. More hacking going on. Hacking everywhere. Seems that the IRS was hacked. Department of Personal Personnel, you know, the OPM, official Office of Personal Management of the government, I think like 4 million names, information was stolen. That was, by the way, only a couple of days ago already. It's dropped to nothing. There's no news of, you know.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Nothing to hurt. Only 4 million, I guess.
I've never seen a thing fall off the radar so quickly.
So quickly, right? But now the U.S. Army's website was taken offline Monday afternoon.
Yeah, this is more interesting.
Twitter account claiming to be called the Syrian Electronic Army alleged that this is the only place in Syria in the middle of a desert. They have an acronym of C. You know,
This
is great. Alleged that it had hacked the site. We did it. The Syrian Electronic Army is a network of hackers who back embattled Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. Do we buy this?
In short, somebody guessed a WordPress admin password and got into the back end of some website and then decided to put some stuff on the front page. That's all this amounts to.
What does the U.S. Army have a website for? Just like, hey, come join us kind of thing?
Well, that reminds me. I was watching. I went to a movie. I went to see Mad Max Fury Road. Well,
how was that?
There's no story.
Oh, that's good. That's okay. It was a lot of banging them up and stuff like that. And
it's a lot of wrecks.
Oh, that's
it
good.
It is a wall-to-wall chase scene with about 3 interludes that are very short, less than 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then they're chasing. And it's very exciting. It's actually very fun. It's fun.
Was it better than Mad Max Beyond the Thunderdome?
Yeah, I thought that movie was a bit much.
Two men enter, one man leaves.
Yeah, no, I think this is something you should see if you want to see just it's George Miller, so he's
mindless storyteller. Shoot 'em up kind of thing. I like that.
But I watched all the previews, and they had all these previews, and they had commercials, and they had the craziest Navy commercial, which included a bunch of, like, they said the Navy, and they should show these different, you know, situations with these planes, and then they show one, I guess, a group of Navy guys, apparently on top of the Himalayas. In white Gurkha, you know, kind of a white Sherpa, I guess, outfit, and long strands of white, streamers hanging off of a bunch of white painted guns. And then they had a white hat on and goggles. And they're all, about 10 of them, up on the mountain, with just looking around like there was aliens landing or something. And I'm watching this and say, what the hell advertisement is this? And then it turns out to be U.S. Navy.
Doesn't seem right.
So I'm thinking, yeah, why does the Army have a website? Why does the Navy do these commercials?
Marketing.
It's a waste of the taxpayers' money. That's why.
Yeah, it's all marketing. When it gets down to them having a bunch of guys hanging out and like, you know, and girls hanging out and with just a gun strapped to their waist in bikinis and, you know, bathing suits in Hawaii. Maybe
is that what they put on when they trash the website?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Now, that would be funny.
Yeah, that'd be good. Anything interesting going at the Worldwide Developers Conference from Apple? Seems like it was a big excitement for about 5 minutes, and then that's about it. Nothing.
Well, you must have seen the 5 minutes. I missed that part. Oh,
I guess, you know, I'm I hate to say it like this, but I'm just bored with Tim Cook's presentations.
I'm bored with all these presentations that have this old-fashioned. Steve Jobs was doing this in the early 80s.
Yeah.
Why are we still doing this? It's 30 years later.
Right.
And we're still doing this stupid presentation where the guy comes on in the dark outfit and they have the big screen and they have this crazy, and it's great what we're going to do next. It's great. It's being mocked by the Silicon Valley TV show. And they keep it up. And Tim Cook, and I think I tweeted this, when I was watching him, he's looking more and more and more and acting like him and sounding like him.
Like Steve Jobs?
No.
Oh, like
Bill Gates.
Oh, come on.
Yes. You go back and watch the tape and think of Bill Gates, not Steve Jobs, and you'll see the mannerisms, the gulping, the same similar kind of high-pitched vocal, the throat voice that Gates has, and the movement and the pacing of his words. It's very interesting.
Bill Gates definitely has a gulping thing.
Yeah, he's a gulper. He's
definitely a gulper. but I just, you know, the whole thing of, and that's not it. And that's not all. And just wait for this. You know, that whole thing?
Yeah, it stinks.
You know, every other paragraph that they write is, and you think that was something. How about this button? You know, that whole thing is kind of old. It used to be exciting and all, but now it's
30 years ago.
Yeah. Just tell us what it is and move on. Everybody get back to living. Let's see here. This is a great article here, but we don't have a lot of time left. There's a great article on how companies fool investors during earnings seasons. I really encourage you to read that on your own, in your own time. Basically talks about, there's about 8 or 9 different things about how they put things in the footnotes, and they take this. One of the things I thought was great was they take the chart of the earnings and the earnings progression. Let's call it from left. It's 2000. Let's just say in a year, 2010. And now it's 2015, so you can see the progression. And if they're not looking so good, they flip them. How do you like that?
It's a great idea.
Anyway, there's a whole bunch of that going on. It's kind of interesting. Robo-advisors, maybe we'll save that for another discussion. Kind of picking up a lot of money, billions of dollars, this whole theoretical artificial advisor that's out there. And I'm not telling you this because it's invading my turf. I'm not talking from that angle, but the whole idea is just so stupid. It's just a giant marketing scheme which has nothing to do with anything but trying to pick up money, because the fact is they ask you a question like, you know, maybe 6 or 7 questions and then say, oh, well, we know your risk profile now. Oh, really? You know my risk profile on 6 or 7 questions that everybody gets asked? How ridiculous.
Yep.
All right, next. Moving along here. This was a kind of a weird story. We'll talk about Netflix first. Netflix, good news for you. You have this in the game, which we'll talk about in a moment, where we have the stocks that we pick each and every week. Netflix shareholders tonight approved a massive increase in the number of shares the company is authorized to issue. We talked about this a few weeks ago, which was the reason that you bought the stock.
Yep.
So
the possible stock split drives people crazy.
Yep. So possibly it could be 30 times.
What?
30 times the share. No, there was a 30-to-1 split. It could be. No, excuse me.
No.
Pardon me.
Can you imagine a well, what's it at?
$670.
Is it $670? So
still be $25.
Well, that would be $20.
Yeah.
It's possible to do 30-to-1.
Right. Now, here's what's interesting here.
Wow.
The streaming service won approval to raise its share authorization by nearly 30 times to 5 billion shares outstanding from 170 million. 30 times.
That's a nice split.
They didn't split that. You know, that may not be the split. They may do a 10-to-1 and have leftover shares.
10-to-1 is pretty outrageous.
Yeah. So we'll see.
I mean, you see 10-to-1s once in a while. More likely in some markets, you see 1-to-10. But a 10-to-1 split.
I've seen it before. I still take it down to $67. It's really not that.
That's reasonable.
Yeah. You get a lot more people in, quote unquote.
Involved. I don't think that nobody's going to do 30-to-1.
Mm-hmm. There was a it was alert today. There was a bomb threat. There was two separate little things that happened. So after the journalists had been evacuated from the White House briefing room for a bomb threat on Tuesday, a man walked up to an unmanned camera transmitting live to CNN and covered it with a T-shirt. Now, that's part of the story. The secondary part of the story is Obama was never removed.
Yeah, that's kind of like the journalists are all asking why that was. Why do we have to get removed and the president stays there? Does that make sense to anyone?
The only thing I can think of, the bomb could have been a flatulent from the president. How much would that make sense?
Well, maybe what makes more sense is the only way to get these writers out of there.
Yeah, no, get out of there. The president's got a fart. Move him out. There's a bomb coming. Cover the thing. The president doesn't leave, and then everybody comes back.
Wow, I never think the show would go to that.
It will.
Wow.
It's been close.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, I know this bomb threat thing is going to have to be examined. Everyone's going to be writing about it, so we'll probably figure something out.
Yep. And finally, the Justice Department officials are weighing charges against General Motors with criminal wire fraud stemming from the automaker's failure to recall millions of vehicles with a defective ignition switch, which only means the stock is going to go higher.
By your theory and by our witness of it, yes.
Right, exactly.
You're right.
Let's get to the game.
Right, how are we doing?
The game.
I like the way the market did work this week. So.
Oh, we got greenies. We're all greenies.
We're all greens except two. So we're doing okay.
Yeah. And actually, the JetBlue Airlines stock did well to begin with, then got hurt. Now, let me just mention something that the weekly stop picks that we talk about here is available on a Google spreadsheet. Go over to dhunplugged.com on the right-hand side. It says weekly stock picks, and that will be a live update of the stocks that we have here. It's not an offer to buy or solicitation to sell any security. Anything that we recommend is not suggested that you do so. Use professional financial advice to do so. John C. Dvorak, myself, Horowitz Company, may own stock, and it'll be duly noted in the disclosures.
Well, we've got still some hot ones that kind of dribbling along, I would say. TransDigm, Walgreens Boots, still going. It hasn't really...
Look at your TBT. That's a beauty. Look at that. Even though you have no idea what that is, that you picked that.
Yeah, no, the ProShares Ultra Short Layman.
Yeah, do you know what it is?
Yeah, I think that was the bond fund, right?
Right, the inverse of the bond. So therefore, when bond yields go higher, you're going to lose money on the bonds, and this will make money.
When I picked it, I knew what I was doing.
Right, and then it's kind of...
But since then, I can barely remember what it is. Well, what are you going to say? It says... ProShares Ultra Short Layman.
Yeah.
That doesn't tell me anything.
And especially because why
except
is the layman?
20-year yield.
And why is the layman still in there? It should be really the Barclays, but I guess they kept the name. Layman's no longer.
Yeah, it's not layman. That's funny. I forgot about that.
Mondelez doing well, up 8.5%. Apple Short up 1.3%. Seattle Genetics. You know, I feel like there was something after hours today on that. But anyway, up 23%. That's where last week you mentioned, hey, I'd love to buy more of that.
Right, because it's still the insiders are still buying it.
Right.
So it's probably ready to make a bigger move.
My yin, which is the inverse of yang, which is the triple China bull, which is Hang Seng 50.
Right. Short of the long of the 3X long.
Right.
It's like so convoluted. It's like, why are these things even available to the public?
Well, we just shorted it, so you could have easily bought Yang. We have Yang for our clients, actually.
Yeah, but Yang doesn't perform as well as a 3X long.
No, Yang is a Yang is a short, three times short, but it's not as easy to get a short, and this is just a little bit of potentially a better play, I should say. Yang could actually do really well if it directionally moves. On a consistent basis in the same direction.
Right.
But anyway, just a matter of, picking it for the game. Sometimes you can't do, like, for example, if we wanted to short Shake Shack all last week, you couldn't get any shares.
Not we.
If I wanted to. Netflix up 35%. American Superconductor Corporation.
Sky is the limit.
Yeah, yeah. Etsy actually up 4.7. Now, that's a short that you picked after it was down about 20%. Meanwhile, Etsy was up 7.5% today. There was some news that a hedge fund took a position in it. So it was up 7, but you're still... Oh, no, you got stopped out. You got stopped out. 16.10.
Yeah, I got stopped out on a whiplash.
Mm-hmm. Yelp up 2.3% on a short. JetBlue down 4.5%. And Shake Shack, my short, is up 5.5%.
Right, ding, that's ding, the newest stuff.
I'm going to pick another long... I've done this before, I think, on this one, but I'm picking a long shot because the wire is coming to a point where it's going to snap soon. And that is the National Bank of Greece, NBG.
Why do I think for some reason you've already done this?
I've done this before.
Oh, you've done it before?
Done it, yeah. I made some good money with it, I believe. But now
we're getting... $1.20. What is it? $1.26.
Yep. We only have a matter of days.
That looks like a really good idea.
Yeah, I mean, the fact is, are they going to let Greece fail? Possibly. Are they going to let the banks fail? I don't know.
Seems unlikely.
They're already still pumping money into the banks. Greece, I think we talked about it last week, they're going to do bundling. Did we talk about this? Maybe not.
I believe so.
Basically, they said, hey, we owe you this money today, last week. You know, yeah, we owe you money at the end of the month.
I would like to borrow some money for a hamburger. I'll pay you right, Tuesday.
Exactly. Yeah. That's right, Wimpy. So I'm going to pick the National Bank of Greece.
Hmm.
What do you got?
Well, I've got a couple of things I'm looking at. I'm probably not going to pick anything. But I was looking at a couple of some more again. I'm going to go back to Glue Mobile seems to have some action.
Glue's an interesting company.
But this is not insider buying. This is just what would you call it? It's Tencent Holdings. It's a one of these operations that buys up companies, and they take a directorship in a company after they buy some up, and then they have some guy there sitting in the board meetings, and then in this case they bought up a bunch more stock, which since they're professional investors and they're in the board seat, and they just bought $51 million worth of Glue.
Wow.
I'm thinking.
Wow. Of a small company, very small company.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think they're partly been buying it up. And I think that's why it jumped. It had this huge uptick, just boom, and then it kind of stays where, you know, it's staying on this kind of going nowhere course at $6.55. They paid $6, so they already made some money. I don't know.
I mean, it could be bought by an Activision. Or it could possibly be merged with who's the Candy Crush King, King Digital, or that other one that's Zynga.
Well, it just seems to me a little fishy that they would, unless they're, and I don't see that they're supporting it. It's not as though the stock has been plunging and then they're, oh God, we got to do something to keep it from going broke. So I don't see that. So I'm thinking that this is something they know. They know somebody knows something to the tune of $51 million. So maybe I'll put that on there.
Okay, Glue Mobile, going on. G-L-U-U. Okay, got it. It's long, of course.
And which the market's flaky, but I don't think the market's going to keep going bad. Let's see, what else is the other one I got here? Hold on. Or the one I was looking at. There's another biotech I'm not going to buy because I don't feel like I want to have more versatility in here. There's a REIT, an unusual REIT that somebody just bought a bunch of. This is to the tune, it's not that much, like $8.3 million worth. But the guy's been buying this stuff, I mean, consistently since, let's see, when did he start? Started, I guess, last year, December. And he picked up a bunch of stock in March, and the stock's gone nowhere. He was buying at $16.99 back in December, and the stock, you can look at it. It's AMH.
AMH.
And that is American Homes for Rent.
Sounds like
I don't know projects. We could look into it as some sort of a specialty REIT. AMH.
Okay.
And this guy was the chairman for a while, or the old chairman. Now he's a director, and he's buying and buying. So he bought $16 million worth in December. And then he bought $3 million, $4 million, $5 million, $2 million, $1 million, $1 million, $1 million, $4 million. Now he just bought eight. And if he's playing blackjack, that means he's putting a lot of money in now because he expects the cards to come up a certain way.
Well, this does this is they rent single family homes.
Yeah, they're kind of like a, I guess, a company that I don't know where they fit into it. Are they the management company, or are they the, do they buy the?
They acquire, renovate. They basically flip. Okay, they flip or rent. So they they own properties in Dallas, Indianapolis, Indiana, Atlanta, Georgia, Charlotte, North Carolina, Chicago, Tampa.
Yeah, well, there's something's up, because let me tell you about this character. The guy I'm talking about is Wayne Hughes. Now, his last run at a company was Public Storage.
Ah.
And he started buying Public Storage. I'm trying to figure this what the year
was.
He's
the non-executive chairman of the board.
Right. Emeritus is what that would be. I think he started buying these guys up in 2010, and they started buying. And I'll just give you an example. He was buying Public Storage. He was buying it at 60, 50, 67, 74, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 68, 68, 70, 71, 70, and on and on. And then you at 68 was, I guess, they started selling it. And he was selling. Oh, I take it back. He held a lot of stock, and he was selling it all along. Never mind.
Okay.
I thought I had a good analysis here, but I don't. All I know is he just kept selling it as it kept going higher and higher.
Hmm.
But he did buy some AMH, and AMH he's been buying and buying, but there hasn't been any stock movement. But I'm not picking it. So,
all right.
Make a long story short.
It's gone.
This guy's, but he's on. I think this home rental thing is something to it, because Buffett himself went on to tell all his investment people to listen that rentals are the next thing for the next decade. And if you look at the millennials out there and all these kids with these student loan debts and all the rest of it, they're all renting. Mm-hmm. Very few of them have the wherewithal to buy anything.
Yep. Well,
AMH is worth looking at for somebody
else.
But
we're not picking it up.
No, I'm not picking it up. I've got the other one.
Okay, well,
I
guess.
Looking at it.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.